Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home. And who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 269 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is not Julie Dobbs. She is our fearless producer, Jasmine Satry.
Yeah, playing the role of Julie Dobbs today.
You are playing the role of Julie Dobbs.
I need a blonde wig.
You're adorable. We're so happy. I'm happy you could pop on with us. We've been trying to do this for a while, but we've just been so busy. Mm-hmm. You've been producing for us for a while. Julie and I have both known you forever.
Yeah.
For a long, long, time.
It's not going to that.
It's God. A long time. So I'm so happy you're pinch hitting today.
Oh my gosh, I am pinch hitting.
We've got two very cool guests coming up. Speaking of the Coppola Studios, we've got the director of winemaking for Coppola.
That's all you had to say. Andrew, like, will you hop on with me? I'm like, yes.
I know. We're going to taste all the wines. It's going to be amazing. But first of all, I want to give our audience, they've mm-hmm. heard us talk about you. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know you, you have a lengthy career in broadcasting, mm-hmm. Which is why you can slide into this role so seamlessly.
Oh, I love
Give us a little thumbnail of Jazz.
Okay. So started out in the early aughts, pre-social media. At Fox Sports Radio.
Such a beautiful time.
Oh my God, when you'd have to wait for the newspaper for the box scores and you'd sweat if your guy didn't show up. That was cool. So started at Fox Sports Radio. One thing led to another. Then I was just kind of all over. I jumped around music radio. Then I worked, dabbled in a little bit of TV here and in Austin. And, you know, I've just kind of... just kind of been everywhere. So yeah, 20 years of this.
I know.
I'm gonna say this, 21?
21 years.
What?
I still got a few years on you.
What?
But I know, it's crazy.
Why, how?
Okay, so what's it like working with Julie and I?
Honest to God, a dream, because we've worked, and you guys have mentioned this on the show, when you're in that infrastructure and that framework and that beating of a construct of a media company that has their thumb on you all the time, you've got to, and so you can just be a hell-raising shit show and just because you own your stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so I love that. And I think that once you're, it's so wild because once you're sort of out of it and you're doing this, you're like, oh, you can't pay me to go back to being serious and not like being able to be me. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you and I met when I was at The Fan. We were the flagship, not there, so I'm using past tense, but the flagship radio station for the Texas Rangers. And that's how you and I met. Because we would always pull you into our radio shit show and you're like, what? So that's how you and I met. God, 15?
At least. 15. I've been here. Yeah. I've been here 20 years.
Yeah.
20 plus,
so it's been a while. So you understand, like, especially on the sports media side, it is such a different animal. And, when you are a fan of your team, I always tell like all these people are asking my advice, but like when these young kids are like, oh my God, I want to work for, my favorite team. I'm like, careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Cause it church and state, homie. You don't want to do that. So yeah. So I've just kind of been all over. And you guys were like, hey, want to join the party? I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So here I am.
So fun having you here. Okay. Yeah. So personal life. You do not have children. You are not a mom, on the mom game.
No, God watches me every day. And he's like, no, we're not. No, we're not. You are no.
But you do love kids.
I do. Yeah. Everybody's kids are like, they always gravitate to me. So I'm like the weird aunt. So I'm always like going to soccer games and parents will be like, you're doing this like willingly?
Yeah.
And they're not your kid because it's hard enough when it's mine.
You're coming here for fun.
Like for fun. No, I just, that's how we are. Like Joey's the same way. Kids just gravitate towards us. So yeah, I'm kind of like this. I get to be the, ooh, let's and yeah. Then go back to mom.
Yeah, the cool fun aunt.
Cool, yes.
Everybody needs a cool fun aunt.
Everybody does.
My kids have one too. Okay, you mentioned Joey. That's your boyfriend who was not on a reality television show.
I am dying.
So we have to get the story behind that.
I am dying. Yeah, so we met on accident on Bumble back when, 2018. And it was, so my friend at the time, or my friend, she's still my friend. She was like, okay, I'm so sick of this shit show. And, you know, when you're single and you're on the air, everybody loves just highlighting the shit show that is your single / dating life. And it's gold. Don't get me wrong.
No, sure.
And I had some, real golden nuggets. And so I just got to a point where I was like, you know, they always say it's when you're not searching. And so my friend was like,
it happens
like,
when you least expect it. I remember when I was single, I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
Kill me. Yeah, please stop.
Yes.
So she was like, okay, this was in like January. My birthday's in September. She's like, okay, so I'm thinking of your birthday present. So you have a choice. I either pay for a matchmaker, a professional matchmaker, or, and I go, you can stop right there. I can find a dude. Like, I took so offense to that. I was like, I don't need a professional matchmaker. You can get me a better gift. Like, no, spend that money, get me a handbag.
Thank you.
So I was like, got on the dating app and accidentally swiped with Joey, which here's what's crazy. So the way Bumble works is you're like in a radius scenario.
Bubble.
Yes. Yeah. And so I was doing mornings at the time. So my bubble literally was like a block. Like, if I have to like get out of my house to meet you, I don't want to, you know. So I had it like 10-mile set. So Joey, transplant from Washington State by way of New York, had just moved to Fort Worth. That's why he loves Fort Worth so much. He was driving it from Austin with a buddy. Because we have 35E north, south, 35 west,
all
whatever.
All the 35s.
Oh, my God. And so he was like, I thought I was taking the right 35. And it brought him right up through 75 Central. And my ass is in Highland Park. And we radiused. And so he messaged me. He's like, hey, would you like to go to coffee? You know, and he tells me this place in Fort Worth that I forgot. And I was like, I don't know if I'm like Fort Worth. And I'm like, I'm in Dallas. How the hell did we match? And he's like, oh, I took a wrong turn. So I'll joke now. I'm like, aren't I the best wrong turn you ever made?
Yeah, absolutely.
Debatable. But okay. Yeah. So that's how we met on accident. Because I was going to find a dude.
Yeah. Okay. And you did.
I did.
And y'all been together for 5-6 years
almost
now?
Seven years. And yes, we're gonna get married.
Okay.
I know those eyes.
You know it was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna pull any
everything. Of course
here.
Not. That's why I love you. No. So I mean, listen, it would be hard for him to get away from me. Is all I'm saying at this point. At this point, it's a formality. So
and y'all seem so cute. We were together at dinner,
you
know, a couple weeks ago, and y'all are. He's super chill.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a lot like my husband, like because you and I are both like.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
all the things, all the issues, all the things.
Yeah,
and then they're just kind of like, they're just pretty like
chill. He just lets me
whatever.
God love him. I every day I'm like, oh my God, he's still here. Like seriously, do you do that with Mike? Where you're like, oh my God.
I mean, I'm bringing a lot to the table.
You do. Oh, trust me.
So yeah, we're not quite there yet. We're like, oh gosh.
No, he knows.
I hope he doesn't.
No, he knows. You're a dime.
But no. I do. I am thankful that he puts up with, like, that I'm comfortable telling him about all the crazy things that are going on in my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, sometimes you feel like you need to shield people from that. But, like, it's just, God bless him.
No.
Like, I don't. Which, so that's a great place to be.
It's a great place to be.
He's not always like, oh, these hot flashes are amazing.
Yeah,
and the way that your mood swings are just so radical. It's so endearing.
It's
It's not like that. But he also knows how to handle me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I know how to handle him too. Yeah. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's the real magic though.
For sure.
Honestly.
Let me tell you something. Like he's, you know, it's not like he's just Mr. Perfection over here. Like he's got, you know.
No, they all do. Everybody has shit.
Right. Everybody
it's just
does.
What are and you, so, what's the added value here to tolerate it?
And can we, and can you, it's not, I don't even think it's about, like, it's just about, can you handle what your partner offers?
Right.
And, are you allowing your partner to be themselves or are they carrying around shit inside?
Right.
Which I think is super toxic and very not healthy.
Yeah.
Like granted, there are certain things, conversations that I would much rather have with my girlfriends.
Yes.
Only because they're going to like actually be listening and attentive.
Not trying to fix it.
And right. Like, let me,
just let me vent.
Right.
He'll be like, don't fix it. Just listen to me.
No, right. And then providing like logical explanations for resolution.
No.
It's like, no,
I don't
need
it.
That's not the point.
That's not the point. No. And
the point is not to resolve it. The point is just to bitch about it.
And it's just, and they don't get it. Cause he's like, if you bring it to me, there needs to be an like actionable resolve. I'm like, no. No, No, I just want to be heard.
I just want to be heard.
I just want a bitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jasmine, it's so great to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for
got a big
sorry for your ratings.
Action No, it's gonna be great. Action packed show. I did want to tease something that we just found out we're for sure doing, that you're going to be a part of, because we are doing a remote show at Spark Arlington.
Beautiful. Spark is beautiful.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I had no idea this place existed.
Wow.
So it's inside the old, it's in Choctaw Stadium, which is the old Globe Life Field. Mm-hmm. No, Globe Life Park.
Park.
Excuse me.
I know.
Across the street from the new stadium, newish stadium. But they've got this whole workspace. Now, like when you think about a workspace, you're like, oh, it's a bunch of cubicles.
Yeah.
And you can go plug your computer in.
It's not office space, guys.
No. This thing is next level. Decorated to the nines. It's like 30,000 square feet. There is, let me get the stats out on the first, the number, 17 suites, 61 private offices, views of Globe Life Park. You know, they've event space for 10 to 150 people.
And it's like
they've
white glove.
Yeah. They've got all the amenities. If you have a space there, you get access 24/7. That includes like events
It's wild.
It's crazy. And it's just a great, like they can accommodate pretty much, they've just got a little bit of everything. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a live remote show there. I don't know if it's going to be live, but we're going to do a remote show there so we can showcase that space. We can drink some Coppola wine. If any of our viewers, listeners want to come sit in on that show, they're welcome. We're going to open it up to everyone. So anyone can come check out the space, sit in while we record an episode of The Mom Game. And then after that, we're going to head across the street to Texas Live. So what they've been doing there is that Troy's at Texas Live, our friend Troy Aikman,
friend of the show,
have these pop-up concerts. Mm-hmm. And so you don't know who's coming.
Oh, it's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
Fun.
So it's a small venue, you know, super intimate venue. And so you'll have people like, let me see what the list. It's been Mike Ryan, Bowling for Soup, Dean Dillon, Stoney LaRue are among those who have popped up before.
That's legit.
And so it's May 29th at Troy's in Arlington, which is inside Texas Live. And it should be super fun. So that's Thursday, May 29th at 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale, texas-live.com. So super fun way to spend the day with The Mom Game. Come over to, we don't know the exact shoot time at Spark. And then after that, we'll head over to Troy's at Texas Live, take in a concert and have so much fun.
So
super excited about that new partnership and that new that event we're going to be able to do. And we're doing more events where we're trying to get out, and you know, we did the Byron Nelson.
Yes.
The CJ Cup Byron
God.
Nelson.
You on the wireless mic is y'all. It's everything.
So I was on with the Dumb Zone boys and the Soroy boys, and we had a great time. So anyway, that's an event we've got coming up. We'll push it out on social media and hope everyone can join us on May 29th. Okay, let's talk a little sports because I know you want to talk Dallas Stars.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So awesome. You and I were texting back and forth.
Yes. And I said something very inappropriate.
No,
to
you
start
did not.
Conversation.
No, it was what I was thinking at all. I'm like, I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
Bless. It was Saturday night. I may have had a couple glasses of wine. Okay, Sports Courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. As you know, Julia and I both received exemplary services from the trusted ophthalmologist at Tylock George. I got the custom lens replacement. She got the LASIK. Just two of many life-changing options that you can take advantage of there at Tylock George Eye Care. That is what enables me to read from this copy and not have to wear readers or glasses or contacts or anything like that because I don't need them anymore. If you've got questions about your options, including custom lens replacement like I got or LASIK like Julie got from Tylock George, you just schedule your free consultation by visiting tylock.com/TMG. That will get you an extra discount on any services you get, but you have a free consultation waiting for you. You can give them a call or log on to tylock.com/TMG to see how they can get you seeing better today.
And I can attest.
Yeah.
Tylock George did mine in 2010. It is 2025. My eyes are still amazing.
Okay. Mine wore off after like 17 years.
Everyone's different. Yeah.
LASIK, but custom lens replacement.
Yep.
I'm done.
It's amazing.
I won't have to have cataract surgery or anything.
Yeah.
Like,
it's amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So Stars.
Oh my God.
Dude, so our show airs on Thursday, so game one of round two will already be in the books, but we cannot not talk about the Dallas Stars.
Oh, my God.
First round of the Stanley Cup playoffs going up against the Colorado Avalanche, game seven at the AAC. I had a Rangers event that night luckily we had first pitch early and we weren't scoring a lot of runs. So the game went pretty fast. So I was able to make it home in time for the entire third period. And so the Stars are down 2-0 going into the third, even with like 10 minutes left in the third. Oh, my God.
And the Avs, you don't want that much time. No. I was terrified. I was like, okay, this is it.
Well, but then you always hear in hockey, beware of the two-goal lead. Beware. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Especially in playoff hockey.
But what is it about the two-goal lead? Because I'm always like, well, wouldn't you rather be up 2-0 than to be down 2-0? Like, why is this two-goal lead so crazy?
Because you know sports and you know the psycho superstitions.
Yep.
And statistically, and again, I hate saying this because even the booger eating nerds who are like, well, statistically, I'm like, statistically, you got their stats don't mean shit in playoff hockey. You've got to take, because anything is game.
Yeah.
That's why people love inject it in my veins, playoff hockey.
It's so good.
It is so good. So yeah, the two goals, it's a thing.
Yeah.
So that's why, and then with the Avs, but then the other flip side to that is, these are the Avs. They're always good. They're just a good team.
Yeah.
And so it's not the position you'd ideally want to be in, especially with so much time. It's like you don't, it's
right, but it's almost like I almost feel like the, it's kind of like back in when we were making our runs, the Rangers were in 2010 and 11.
Yes.
Well, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes. Like
they were, Tampa Bay was so good.
My God.
But we always had their number.
I know.
And I feel like that's because I remember Joe Madden even said something about it. Joe Madden was like, I'm fucking over the Rangers. Like, just done. I don't want to see them. I'm out. And so I feel like with Colorado, they feel the same way about the Stars.
Yes.
Like, we're so good.
Yeah.
We cannot get past the Stars.
I know. And I love that problem.
Oh, yeah.
But did you, oh my God. Yeah, go on.
No. But it just looked, and then when, you know, and then you've got, I texted you, I think after the equalizer.
Yes.
And I said that goal made me aroused. Well, it didn't really. I just was going for effect.
Oh, what made me actually aroused? So
I needed to communicate how much I enjoyed that goal and like how excited I was.
Yes.
But then I started texting my girlfriends who aren't really big sports fans. Uh-huh. And I need to keep talking to people about this game.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then fortunately, one of them at least was like, oh God, this game is fucking bananas. Yeah. And then we all got on. I'm like, okay, like the girls that don't really watch sports, like my friend Lisa, I was like, you have got to watch this goal.
Yes.
Like you have to watch the replay.
Yes.
Like you have
to. Yes, you have to. Don't ask me questions about fundamentals
just watch
right
it.
Now.
Like,
just watch it.
Appreciate it. Like, it's amazing. Mm-mm. You have to know how amazing it is. So then by the end of it, we all started getting on board. And I'm like, it's Mikko Rantanen and the Avalanche traded him. It's his former team. And he really
and
hasn't done a whole
records
lot.
Records.
Yes.
Hat
I was like, he hasn't really done a lot since the trade. And everybody's questioning it. And now
his balls are out.
Yes!
Like, here we go.
I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. Totally.
And then the scene was amazing. Like I would have killed to be in that arena.
Oh God, I know.
Because it looked so bananas.
So bananas.
So he scores the first goal to get him within 2-1. Then he scores the equalizer to tie it at 2.
Yep.
Then Wyatt had the third one.
I believe, yes.
But
I
he
was
assisted
drinking.
It.
Yes, he assisted. Yes.
And then it's empty net because the Avalanche pulled their goalie because that's what you do when you're down. You're desperate.
Yep.
And then he gets the third one for the hat trick with like 2 seconds left. And hats just go raining down.
Oh, my God.
And then it was so funny because my girlfriends are like, why are they throwing their hats?
Don't ask me that right now.
It's a hat trick. But then I was like, oh, my gosh. And y'all have got to watch the handshake line. And like,
yes.
Some of them were like, okay, I'm bringing my kid in here to watch this.
I know.
And they were like, why don't they shake hands after every game? I'm like,
stop
you just
asking
don't.
Questions.
You just don't. It's hockey.
It's a thing.
Hockey does cool shit.
It does. Hockey does cool shit. Yes, it does.
So anyway, it was so fun. And now they're on to round 2 against Winnipeg. Unfortunately, they do not have home ice advantage.
No, and that scares
they
me.
They got to get. They
that
have not won
me.
A game one, which this is airing after game one.
No, statistically, remember it's
Please,
playoff hockey.
I hope you win game one. I hope everyone listening is saying, "Shut up, Emily. They won game one. Shut up," because that would be really awesome. Because game ones have not been good.
I can't. No, I haven't. And I don't know if this happens to you, but there's this phenomenon that coincides with how long my Botox lasts. And how long my teams are in it.
Okay.
Because I lose. I mean, it's insufferable.
Do you think Botox is coming out of your pores?
1,000. Because it's making you move muscles constantly. And so it's undoing. I'm serious. Have you not? Like, there's
no,
certain periods.
I need to pay attention.
I'm telling
to this.
You, pay attention the next time you go and get yours done. And then, like, chart it almost like ovulation, where you're like, my Botox, I'm like, holy shit. And there's certain periods of time. I mean, the Mavs undid all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had literally gotten mine done. And the entire, like, the first month past the Luka trade, my injector's like, girl, we even went up on you this time. I'm like, shut up and just inject again. Like, so there is a correlation.
It's Nico's fault.
It is Nico's fault. So I'm telling y'all, there's a correlation. If you are a diehard day one for your teams, there is a correlation. I'm telling you, chart it.
Between the stress, your Botox and the stress they cause.
I texted you, like, even I was like, this is done. I already can feel it.
I kind of was wondering where I needed the Botox explanation. So I'm glad you brought it up.
That's why, because it undoes it every time. Because when you're in it and you're forcing yourself to use facial muscles, because you're like forcing it.
Oh my God,
you know what I mean? Hilarious. It's like undoing all of it. So anyway,
so it's funny.
Just, I'm telling you, it's a thing.
Okay, well, go Stars.
Go Stars.
God, I'm so
Did you watch the Star or the Winnipeg St. Louis?
No, I didn't.
Emily. That was playoff hockey.
I mean, and there was 2 seconds left.
Like, even, not even. And it's like, oh my God, he rounded the corner, got it in. And I mean, we're losing our shit. Like, you thought our team was playing. Because playoff hockey just makes you, I'm getting chills talking about it.
I know.
There's nothing like playoff hockey.
Especially in person.
No. Oh my God, in person. It's
one
insane.
Of the coolest moments of my career. And I saw Marty Turco not too long ago. Uh-huh. One of the coolest moments of my career was I was covering the Stars, was when I was still working for Fox Sports Southwest. Uh-huh. I had not started working full time for the Rangers yet. And I was still covering, I was covering hockey. And it was a game against San Jose. It went to like 800 overtime.
Yes.
Didn't get over to like 1:30 in the morning.
Oh my God. And you covered that.
And I covered that. And we had on ice interviews after the game. And whoever had the first interview, network interview or whatever. Uh-huh. What got Mike Modano and I got Marty.
That's amazing.
And the whole time we're doing the interview, the entire crowd is chanting Marty,
Love Marty.
And I was like, I mean, I get chills thinking about it. I was like, this is so effing unbelievable.
It was crazy.
And isn't it the coolest?
I can't even imagine because it's electric and you're in the middle of it and you're like, keep your questions.
I would love to find that interview because it was really so cool. And every time I see Marty, we talk about it.
Dallas is a hockey town.
I know it is.
We are a hockey town.
It is. It is for sure.
Love it.
Okay, let's hit the Rangers just a little bit because we all know they've been struggling offensively so badly. Oh gosh. But they are shaking some things up. So they fired the offensive coordinator, Donnie Ecker. Donnie's been with us for, I think this was his fourth season.
Yeah.
Big part of what we've done offensively, you know, and a big part of the World Series run and all that kind of stuff. And so, but I think they just felt like they had to do something.
Like,
so they sent Jake Berger down to, you know, AAA. They outright designate Leody Taveras, which was a little bit of a shock to me. I mean, like, wow. You know, it's like they're just trying to make moves to shake things up. I think to send messages. I think to actually, you know, that obviously they want to actually change things. But so they fire Donnie Ecker and then bring in Brett Boone, who has like a 14-year big league career. Brother of Aaron Boone, who's the Yankees skipper.
Yeah. And wasn't this like a Michael Young, like, hey, let me make some calls?
Yeah. So I just heard from Brett Boone's podcast. Uh-huh. He said that the way this conversation got started was he ran into Michael Young at an USC baseball game.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of had a conversation, say hi to Boach, say hi to CY. So then Michael talks to CY but whatever. And then the conversation started and then here we are. So, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, is he going to go and reconstruct Corey Seager's swing or, you know, Jock Peterson's swing or anything else? No, but just a lot of times you need a new voice. You need a fresh perspective.
Something.
A change kind of in philosophy.
Because I think on paper, like even going in during the offseason, you know, we pick up Jock Peterson.
Yeah.
And there is this like,
Jock Peterson, Jake Berger.
These are
two proven hitters.
And then he's reuniting with his boy, Corey Seager. And you're thinking, oh my God, they're going to really have the Dodgers days and blah, blah. And then it was like, what is happening? Yeah. And then I was okay, so maybe you can answer this question. Can the entire team get the yips?
I mean, you know, you always hear about like hitting is contagious.
Yes.
But also slumping can be contagious.
Yes.
Too. Because it's just like, because when that guy ahead of you is struggling, then you're feeling more pressure. And then it's just a trickle down effect. And it's like Boach said something when I was out there a couple weeks or last week or whenever it was. And he said, like, we weren't working counts, like not generating walks and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, fear creates walks. And right now, no pitcher is scared of this lineup.
Yes.
So they're not afraid to throw strikes because we're not being disciplined. We're swinging, you know, whatever. And so, you know, anyway, I think, you know, it's just a thing of, everyone's trying so hard to pull this offense out of it that they're probably a lot of them stepping outside themselves and what is really needed from them because they feel like they need to compensate for others. So it's all with good intention, but it's something that's got to get fixed because you're wasting tremendous pitching. Tremendous. And so hopefully this will be kind of the switch that, and I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but Evan Carter also coming back. So hopefully this kind of Rubik's Cube combination they're trying to figure out will translate
sooner rather
than later.
Well, like the statement was put out like Saturday night, I think during the Stars game. Because I remember like scrolling on Twitter.
Oh, with Ecker?
Yeah.
It was Sunday or after
Sunday.
The
was
game.
It Sunday? Okay, right, it was one of those days. Yep. And I'm like,
we
know what this means.
I think they're just, I think too, it's the front office saying like, we mean business. Like if you're not producing, we're gonna try something else.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
You have to. So. Because it's like, you know, we had that. It's like ever since the World Series, it felt like, what is happening?
Right. Well, and see why I said he, you know, I waited too long. I was too patient last season in 2024.
Yeah. But he's like, damn good. He knows that. He's got his shit.
Right. And I think he learned from that. And he's like, I waited too long last year. And by the time, you know, we kept saying, oh, we're going to click. We're going to figure it out. And then they never did. And then by the time it was too late.
Yeah.
So he's being a lot more proactive this season.
That's how it is.
Okay, so that's a little sportsy stuff. I didn't even put anything on feed, but we have plenty of stuff to talk about. If you think of something while I tell everyone about the people bringing us what's on your feed, our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media and Early Bird CBD. We've talked to you about Audrey Dolan's Media. They are fantastic. They've been working with us for the last several months. They have really upped our game in terms of you know, our presentation, our website. Please check out our new website. It is so good. Audrey did such a phenomenal job just kind of bringing us into a new era of the mom game. They do influencer management, brand management, monetization management, get collaborations, all that kind of stuff. So if you're looking to kind of reestablish yourself as a company or as an individual brand, Audrey Dolan's Media is the place to go. So please check them out. Audrey Dolan's media.com. And then also, we all know how much we love the Early Bird CBD. I got a message from our friend Dawn, Super Ranger fan, Dawn Shepherd. She's like, when are they coming out with those chocolates? That was good because it was the free giveaway in the 420 gift pack. And so she really liked those chocolates that they introduced for the 420 special. But if you know me and if you've heard me, I truly, truly can't live without Early Bird CBD. When it's time to shut my mind off, I will pop a couple, slide in that biscuit and get a really, really good night's sleep. Last night was another example. I had my mind racing about a million different things and I was like, it's time to shut it down. So I went and popped a couple Early Birds, got in that biscuit and fell right asleep and slept all the way through the night. I didn't even get up to go to the bathroom, which is weird.
Who sleeps through the night?
I know. It was crazy. I slept like 10:30 to 5:30.
What?
7 hours.
What?
I know. I'm more impressed with my bladder than anything else.
Yeah, actually.
So the Mom Game 20 is active and good for 20% off your first order online. It's a new code, so it can be used by someone, even if you've ordered before, one time only. But yeah, check them out, earlybirdcbd.com. That microdose of THC from hemp really does do the trick, get you in that relaxed space, whether you want to sleep or just want to chill on the couch. So check them out, earlybirdcbd.com. Okay, what's on your feed?
Okay, so do you follow the Met Gala at all?
Okay, is this what everyone was dressed up
yes.
for? Yes. Is this is Kim Kardashian okay?
They're always, well, oh my God, it's been a whole thing for a long time.
I know.
They always, but she's always been a little.
I know, but they are all beautiful. The Jenners and the Kardashians, they are beautiful.
Because they have good surgeons.
They have wonderful surgeons.
And injectors, and they're billionaires. Like,
do you think
on.
We could be that pretty?
Yes.
That team?
We would be hot if we had that kind of money.
Man, they're so pretty all the time.
Because they can.
Okay, what were you going to say about it? But she was wearing this dress and like the things, the
corsets and all that.
She's doing and then the way she's standing and then. It's like, honey, you don't need to stick your booty out. Like,
no,
it's out.
It's out.
It is on.
But posing gives me anxiety. Like, when I watch people do it, I'm like, I don't like taking pictures.
I know. I'm right there with you.
It's like, yeah. So, okay. So, the Met Gala. Yes. It is this, like, display of insanity with, like, and everybody's there. Celebrities, athletes, you know, famous people.
This is, like, where you can venture out into the fashion.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can Is this where What's Her Head wore the meat dress?
Yes.
Okay.
Lady Gaga. Yeah. There was a girl on the red carpet that had a handbag made out of ice, so her hand's like dripping.
Oh, I saw that.
Why?
What are we doing?
I don't get it. That's okay. So dumb. That's dumb. But yeah, so you get to be like crazy, and there's all, and it's invite only. Anna Wintour. Wait,
who's inviting?
Okay, so Anna Wintour gatekeeps, and Anna Wintour is
she?
You don't know who Anna Wintour
is. Honey, is she fashion or
yeah,
art?
Yeah, she's like a Vogue. She's the Vogue editor.
Okay. Okay.
I know you were raised by your daddy, but she is like, okay, so did you ever see The Devil Wears Prada?
I did.
Okay, so the really bitchy boss in that was inspired by Anna Wintour.
Okay, yes. So how long has she been doing this shit?
Oh, years.
Okay,
years.
So she's like,
yes.
Kiss the ring.
Yes, kiss, okay. Basically kiss the ring.
Got it.
And people either love her or hate her because she is very polarizing.
Okay.
As The Devil Wears Prada, you know, expressed.
Right.
So yeah, these people go at like, and you'll see these athletes sometimes too where I'm like, what are we?
Bless.
Your suit's made out of rulers. Uh-huh. Like, what, you know, like just random crazy shit.
Right.
But here's my thing. I would like just once, Anna, because you watch the mom game.
Okay.
I would love to be invited because I want to wear something so insane.
What's her name?
Anna Wintour.
Do you think she listens to the mom?
Totally.
Game?
You guys are right fashion beacons.
Obviously,
I mean, look at you.
Obviously.
She loves your LTK.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So yeah, no, it's this. And you know, it goes viral because people try to go like, it's like one upping each other in like
who
crazy.
Can be the most outrageous.
Yes. Who can be the most outrageous?
Okay. So who was the most outrageous?
So here's the other thing to me is I don't remember shit and I can't keep up with people. Used to be when people were famous, they were unanimously famous.
I don't know so many famous people.
I don't. You could show me
so
a lineup
people.
And I'm like, where's Halle Berry?
Yeah.
You know, where's Whitney Houston? Like, I don't know.
She's no longer.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I'm saying? Like
Demi Moore.
Yes. That one. Okay.
Meg
we know.
Ryan.
Yes. Meg Ryan. You know,
the,
famous.
The young people.
Unanimously famous.
Like I think Selena Gomez is a young famous person and she's not. She's
no,
probably
she's
like 35.
Girl. 30, okay. So I went to college with her mom. I babysat her for like 3 seconds.
Shut your mouth.
I'm not kidding you.
How old is she?
Her mom had her young.
Okay.
So she was like doing Barney when we were in college together.
Oh my gosh.
And doing college together. When we were in college together. And she had brought her up with her to do something. And she was like, hey, I got to get my books out of my car. Can you watch her for a second? And I was like, yeah. So here's me and like baby Selena Gomez.
That's hilarious.
Sitting, and I was like, oh, look, Barney. Look, yeah. And then years go by and I'm like, oh my God, I babysat her.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Babysat her.
You did.
For like five.
Molded her.
Yeah, I molded her.
To the woman she
Where's
is.
My money?
Okay, so who's getting in? So what's her name?
Anna Wintour.
Is she getting in like on the influencer thing? Or is she strictly like, you've got to be A-list celebrity?
No, it is very curated. You are A-list. Or you go with somebody like, you're a date of somebody who Anna, so she either knows you directly or you better know someone legit. So it is very, and it's a very, like I said, curated, and it is very proper. Like you get like a proper invitation with like cursive lettering on,
right?
You know, it's not, yeah, it's not an Evite,
right? Not sending out a screen grab on.
Here's my Canva flyer. Yeah, exactly. Can you make it to the Met Gala?
Okay. So, what was the most outrageous thing?
So, here's what's funny.
Besides the ice handbag.
So to me, LeBron James's wife had this insane, like, I don't even know. Here, let me try to pull it up. Here's my other thing to this. I don't know how I feel about athletes at the Met Gala.
Why?
Because. Okay, so like for one, LeBron James was tweeting. He's like, hey, everybody, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, I can't make it to the Met Gala because, you know, that, you know, knee injury I suffered during the season, but my wife will be there. And I'm like, shouldn't you probably be worried about your knee? Right? Am I being a poo-poo fun sucker where it's like, you better be sports or nothing?
Well, but wait, but they got bounced.
I know, but still. It's just like, hey, just, I don't know.
Oh, you don't want him to mix. You don't want
it weirds
me out. You
want
him to stick to sport.
Kind of. See, and now I'm the person I hate.
But not like, not use their platform. You're just like, just don't go to the Met Gala.
I'm just, it's very specific.
Right.
It was so
weird. You can talk about social issues all you want. Just don't go to the Met Gala.
It was so weird. Let me see if I can, so I don't know if you can see this.
It's a very strange prejudice you have against athletes.
I'm not normal. So like this is, and I don't know if you can see that, but that's like Savannah James's. How would you even describe that?
It looks like it looks like a Catholic school uniform made into
burlesque, right?
Yes.
Kind of. like a Marilyn Monroe, but then she's got cut out. It's just, and it's big.
She's stunning.
She's stunning. She's beautiful. But like, she's imagine stunning. Hauling that around. How do you sit down? How do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, but that whole patch, or that's like a brooch she's wearing. It looks like a private school.
Yes. Catholic but you know what patch. I mean? So it's just crazy shit like this. And then like Russell Wilson was there with Ciara, and God love him. He's like the NFL Ned Flanders.
Bless him.
I can't. And so I'm like, you're so misplaced. And I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be that person.
The Met Gala.
Yeah. Like Tom Brady used to go with, but that makes sense because Giselle. I mean, they're like hot couple.
Yeah, for sure.
But like random people.
Yeah.
Like.
Was Bill Belichick there?
Oh my God. That whole thing is so crazy.
It's so insane. I can't deal.
That is so crazy. It is. And evidently now she's tried to like, she boxed herself into the Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl ad. Do you remember this? For the, it was like Ben Affleck and it was Dunkin' Donuts, but evidently she was in it. Now we know. Cause
really?
We know, yeah. And she was like, I'm going to be in the, it was, she, yeah.
That girl was something. I mean, if you can get, she's either got magic pee or she's got some sort of like crazy mind tricks that she's playing.
I mean,
because he's like the least controllable human on the planet, and she's got him eating out of the palm of her hand, doing whatever she wants,
which is so weird.
I know, it's like Bill, blink twice if you need help.
Oh my God, and that's what first got me. So it went years ago when I was still doing sports radio. We were out covering this one of the many Super Bowls they were in, and interviewing him. It was like.
Oh my God.
I know.
Seattle.
And you're like, well,
Seattle.
Yeah.
Well, Seattle.
And like, you're like, just, oh, that's who he is.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up with a young, like just even 21, 22 year old
right.
girl?
And then he's taking pictures dressed up like a fisherman and she's a mermaid on a beach. I'm like,
what is this so, Bill? It's I know. So weird.
His kids have got to be mortified. Like you I'm thinking think. Like if my dad was still alive and he was dating someone like that, I would be like, oh my God.
It's elder abuse. It's literal elder abuse.
I agree.
And we're all watching it.
And I feel like if the roles were reversed, we would be outraged because young dude's taking advantage of an older woman.
1,000%.
Okay. All right. Well, we have got to get to our guests.
Let's do it.
Because we have two very special guests, and they are brought to us by our friends at One Day Doors. We have heard Julie talk about her experience with One Day Doors and Closets. They save customers 30 to 50% compared to big box stores or handymen. They basically come to your house. They do the measurements and then they come in, swoop in with these brand new doors that aren't hollow. They're solid wood. It protects the integrity of your home, keeps noises out or in wherever they're supposed to be. They can do any kind of doors, hinged, bolted, or bifold rather, sliding. So you can update the look of your house just by changing out the doors. And One Day Doors makes it easy, and simple. They do closet work as well. Their process typically starts with an in-home visit so people can get a feel for what their new home would look like with these new and improved doors and windows. Or you can visit their Louisville showroom. Their number is 940-969-4790. Also, they've got a promo code exclusively for us, onedaytexas.com/promo30. That gets buy one, get one free on doors. So if you give them a call, tell them the Mom Game sent you, give them that promo code so you can take advantage of the same service and quality doors that our little Julie did. But right now it is time for our guests. Well, we have had her on the show before, and we are pleased to welcome her back again. She is the director of winemaking at Francis Ford Coppola Wineries, and we are so excited to have Andrea Card back with us. Andrea,
thank you.
Thanks for having us, or thanks for coming in. I guess we're
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm super happy to be in Texas. So
she gets it.
It's all good.
I was anticipating what you were going to say. So you brought us some new wines. You brought us some good wine. I think they're all good wines. But before we get into the tasting, I want to revisit your story just a little bit.
Yeah.
Seems like a dream job. Not going to lie.
I mean, if you like wine, it's a pretty good job.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
How you got started and how you ended up with Coppola, obviously a huge partner of ours. And so I just want to revisit a little bit about your story.
Yeah. I grew up in Sonoma County, which is a beautiful wine country in California. And I never thought I was going into wine because it was around me all the time. And I came back home after college and was like, oh, geez, I better do something. So I got a job at a winery and I fell in love. And it was so amazing. And a couple jobs later, I ended up at Coppola, and I'm really happy to be here.
Okay, but how do you keep a job at a winery? Because I feel like Emily.
Well, you just can't drink too much.
Oh my God, right? How do you not? This is a serious question.
Yeah.
Like, no, seriously.
I agree. We spit, right? So we taste a lot, but you have your little spitter and you're good to go. You just make sure you have snacks and lunch and... It's great.
So are you, we're talking way too much about the drinking, but like, are you like drinking all day?
No, or no. I do have a real job part too, right? Where I have a computer and I have to use that from time to time. But the best part is like being in the vineyard and checking out grapes and being a part of that process. So there's lots of indoor, outdoor drinking, not drinking time.
So. And then how does the process go about trying to figure out like, how to make a new wine? So like, for example, we've been talking about this on the show.
Yeah.
The new low-cal, low-alc whites that you guys have. How do you, go about making a new wine, especially one that's like low in calories?
Yeah. So this was brought to us by marketing. They were like, hey, we need this wine. We're hoping to venture into the low-cal area. And all of us were kind of like, okay, well, we'll try something new. And I was really excited to be able to try new ways of harvesting grapes. And so we're actually harvesting the grapes just early. And it helps us to be able to keep some of the really bright nuances of the wine. Because you can make wine like this many different ways. So it's a fun adventure for us.
So how do you control, but like, is there a lever? Like, how do you control the alcohol volume?
Sugar. How much sugar is in the grapes is directly related to how much alcohol is in the wine when you finish. Huh. So if you pick the grapes earlier, you have less sugar to convert into alcohol and you get less calories.
Okay, fascinating. I never knew that. Okay, so I do want to try some.
Yeah.
Can tell us about...
let's try it.
Yeah, what we...
So these are...
like, let's cut to the chase. Let's open these.
Sorry, I got excited.
I got excited. Like, stop messing around here, Andrea.
Oh, no, let's drink.
Talk and drink, please.
So the first one is Pinot Grigio. It's part of our Diamond Collection Vibrance. And Vibrance is basically just, our low-calorie line. And it's 8% alcohol. Here, let me do the honors here.
We don't have to spit it out. Really.
No, I'm not spitting
out. Yeah, I'm not. I was like, sorry about you.
I'm not
spitting out. Y'all are look.
Okay, we'll just give you little sips, and then I can always
give
you
more. What does the swishing around do?
Swirling is actually to give it more oxygen.
Okay.
So if you ever smell your wine and you're like, that smells kind of funky, just give it a little swirl and you'll be good to go. The oxygen helps aerate some of those kind of off things.
Like
how
you did it. You're like,
So if you want to start, like, start on the table.
That won't end well for me.
No, you start on the table, and this is how you start.
Oh my God, it gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
And then once you get that swirl technique, then you can pick it up.
Okay, so it's not always corked then. It could just be that you need to swirl it.
Yeah, sometimes there's just like, it's been trapped in this bottle, right? It's like the genie in the bottle. It gets trapped in there.
Oh, that's good.
And so you want to be able to give it a little bit of oxygen. Whites generally are good to go. You don't need to swirl them as much. But if there is something funky in there, just...
That is a good Pinot Gris.
Can I guess some tasting notes here?
Oh my God,
Is there pear?
Whatever you find is in there.
Whatever your fruit is. You got to find it, Emily.
Yeah, I think there's... No, I think there is. There's some like green, crisp pear. It's
there's green apple.
Crisp.
Yeah, there's green apple. For sure. I mean, obviously, this is a lower calorie, lower alcohol wine. So it is a lighter style wine. Yeah. So we want it to be with those fresh fruits and lots of acid and refreshing.
Okay.
This is a perfect wine for summer. A hot, humid
Anything,
day.
Actually.
Okay. Is this going to be, which one's going to be at Colonial?
The Shimmer.
Okay. We're going to get to that.
Is my understanding.
I'm teasing.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
Hit me, bartender.
I have to take a little more.
Yes.
Let's go. I love drinking with my bartender.
Otherwise, I would have to, mix them, and you don't want to mix them.
No.
What do they call that in college? Like when you mixed everything together?
Oh, like a suicide.
Suicide. Yes. Yep.
My kids will do that with like sodas, like at a soda machine, and they'll be like a little bit of root beer, a little bit of Dr. Pepper.
Sprite.
I was thinking you were thinking of Long Island iced tea. I'm like, ooh, I do love that.
Or there was a shot.
Hurricane.
There was a shot that was, I forgot what it was called, but it was maybe like a kamikaze or something.
Come on, Lubbock. You got to be better than that. Come on.
What about that nasty one where they would pick up the bar mat?
Yes. That's the one.
The trash can punch. Oh, Jesus.
That's awful.
All right. Okay, so this one is our Sauvignon Blanc. So part of the Diamond Collection Vibrance.
Smell that.
And this one is really great to me. I love Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. It's just bright and crisp and really refreshing. So if you like Sauvignon Blanc, this just is 8% alcohol. And so you can have one more glass or...
Okay, cause so what is normally, like it's usually 12 to 15, isn't it? And I think it took me a while to realize that.
I love how Emily asked that, like she didn't know all innocently. No, so what is typical ABV in a wine?
No, because I used to think, I'll just go drink for drink and we'll be on the same page. And then all of a sudden I was like, whoa.
If it's drink for drink and someone has a beer, you're going to be under the table before
Emily's at the end of the book. We're not even on the same page, sister.
Like, almost as if you were there when I figured this out. Because it was like... Well, I mean, I only had three glasses of wine. You had three beer, whatever. And it was like, oh, that's whole ABV thing.
Yeah. So these wines,
ABV thing.
These wines are really meant to be like more sessionable, right? Like the sessionable beers that you get for lunch or whatever that are 4% alcohol. I mean, this is twice as much, but you get the volume is generally less that you're getting in a pour.
God bless the people who only have a 4% ABV at lunch. Because that ain't me.
So
different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think this wine is really crisp, really bright, has a lot going on even for a low calorie wine.
Yeah. Yes. Well, even too, like if you think about, because I always think about like, having a glass of wine by the pool, like cooling off, and this would be perfect. And two, I feel like when you're in the sun, things escalate very quickly.
They sure do, friend.
This is a smart thing.
And one more thing to bring up, I've tried a whole slew of low-cal wines, because they market to us women and the shit we care about. This like tastes like a full-bodied wine.
Yeah,
you're not getting your like, oh, you can taste that it's low-cal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, it's really good.
This is really good.
She's like, I do know. We've tried a lot of them as well,
and they're just garbage. Some of them are just awful,
to be honest. It's really hard to make.
Yeah,
it's actually more difficult than some of the other wines because we have to go through more processes to make sure that it is lower alcohol.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get the texture to be correct, because if you drink wine a lot, and then all of a sudden you have a low calorie thing, you're like, wait, this tastes a little different than it should.
Well, the integrity of the wine's intact. Different. And I'm like a giant wino. So I'm like, that's what I was like, oh, this tastes legit.
Yeah, this is like the perfect pool wine, right? Because you're in the sun and you probably want to have more than one glass throughout the afternoon. And this is perfect.
Yeah.
So you can split it or not.
Yeah, or not.
Or not.
Okay. This is the next one. This is the Shimmer one that is going to be at the Colonial, Charles Schwab Challenge.
Yeah, that's my understanding. So this is our newest wine, the Shimmer. Easy open, right? We always like that.
You know what? People ask about that is I think sometimes wine snobs especially are like,
yes, I'm here.
We need a cork. It's like, but it's not necessary.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Gets in the way.
Totally not necessary, depending on the varietal and the style of wine and the price point, really, I think. I love having an easily accessible bottle that you can just use your hands. You don't have to have another tool.
I'm not going to go out to my pool and serve my guests with a napkin draped over my...
Right. I mean, if you're serving the Archimedes, then maybe that is how you want to serve it.
Yeah, the bigger wines, the bigger reds.
But with the screw caps, like all whites are pretty great. They're not meant to be aged. They're meant to be drank young. And so the screw cap is perfect for this.
Ooh.
So this wine is Shimmer.
That's
part of our
good.
Diamond collection. This is 11% alcohol, so we've moved up a little bit. We're still on the lower end for white wine for California. And this is a 50-50 blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Grigio.
Okay. Ooh, I can taste that. Those are like my two favorite whites.
Yeah. See, I'm a Sauvignon B myself. But those are all three really good. And then sometimes you just you get in a not a rut, but you get into where you're drinking the same thing all the time and you just kind of want to mix it up. Which I'll do occasionally with like a Pinot Grigio, but I don't know that I've ever had a 50-50 Pinot.
I hadn't had one either.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, that's
it. We were like, okay, well, let's try it. We tried it and it was a great vintage for Sauvignon Blanc for 2024. And so it made a beautiful wine.
Yeah. So everyone visit, the concession stands at, I feel like that sounds like a junior high
concession
basketball
stands.
Game. Concession stand.
I mean, as long as they sell wine, you're good to go.
Wherever they sell wine, ask for the Shimmer from Coppola at the Charles Schwab Challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we move on to the reds, I do want to ask you, because I remember you know, and I may have told you this the very first time you were on the show. You know, I grew up in Plainview, Texas, which is a very small town. We had to drive to a place called Nazareth, which is ironic to buy alcohol.
That is, isn't it?
I hope you can see the irony there. And so, like, my first experience with wine was like Franzia.
Makes me want to throw up. I know.
But I think it feels like it could be, it can be like an overwhelming thing to figure out wine. But, and I have actually worked with, you know, a wine company in the past. And like, my whole deal was like, if you taste it, here's the idea. Taste it. If you like it, you should drink it.
Yes.
If you don't, you shouldn't.
Correct.
Like, it's just, have to be this rocket science of tannins and all that stuff.
Yeah. I always say, well, like when you said, oh, is there pear in this? Yes. Whatever it is that you find.
It's your pear.
Blueberry.
Yeah. Whatever you find in the wine is, and you find it nice.
Yeah.
Great. Drink it. Do it.
And if I guess there's people that like that's their thing, right? Like that. But for me, it's just like I don't really know. Like I just know I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it tastes good.
It's and a learned thing too.
Yeah,
right. You have to pair your brain to.
Yes.
And we do a lot of that in training, and we talk about it a lot. And someone will say something, and you're like, "Oh, I never thought about that."
Yeah.
Aspect of the wine, and then you use that word going forward.
We went to Sarah Melton.
Yes,
worked for the Mavericks.
Yeah, yeah.
Went to her wedding, and Mike and my husband and I scheduled this like wine tasting, and neither one of us were very advanced.
Oh no!
11 a.m. It was just the two of us.
Oh, Emily.
And so So we go, and I mean, I don't even know if I ate bread, but it was wine and cheese pairing.
I
used to kind of make fun of this stuff. I'm like, oh, so cheesy. So I've had, you know, some samples. And then the lady leading the tasting would be like, you know, and then you're going to taste this cheese and you're going to taste a hint of crisp apple. And I'd be like, holy shit.
She was right.
It tastes just like apples. This is amazing.
And did you say it just like that?
Just like that.
I love you.
Just like that. And Mike was like,
oh my God.
Oh dear.
We have a
wedding
to
go to tonight. I was like, I just need a nap. But did you taste those hints of lemon? It was hilarious.
They're like Plainview. Let's take it down.
I mean, Plainview was in. Oh my gosh.
Can
you believe you can taste the notes of stuff in there? I mean, just
the power is so great of suggestion.
Yes.
When it comes to wine is definitely a big thing,
yeah.
Right? If somebody says, oh my gosh, I get like, you know, citrus rind, you're like, yes. It's like when I'm zesting the lemon for, you know.
Oh my God, I love that.
The power of suggestion.
That's true.
That's a nice way to put it.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's also how you learn how to connect the like flavor with an actual fruit or something else that you've had.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I'll buy into it. Learned. Like if I'm having seafood, I will have white wine. If I'm having steak, I will have red
to.
Wine.
Yeah.
I mean,
it just pairs.
It's pretty elementary over here, my knowledge.
You can do like with like, or you can do opposites too.
Yeah.
You can do a heavy something with a lighter something if there's something to connect them. So
I mean, do you always have to have food? What if you just want to?
No, I say most of our wines are cocktail wines.
Uh-huh.
So that means that you can have it as a cocktail or you can have it with food.
Food
normally enhances the wine or the wine enhances the food, but it definitely does not have to go together.
Yeah, because that's my house. That's more my speed.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Food gets in the way.
I'm drinking a glass of Shimmer like in my front porch. You know, with no food.
Sure.
I'm just hanging out.
While getting ready. That's my favorite glass of wine is the getting ready glass.
See, I can't. I'm always paranoid.
I can't stand getting ready, but I will enjoy
it. I get too hot.
I can't. I get too hot. And then I'm like, oh, this eyeliner is not going to be straight. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. I have too much anxiety around drinking.
That's hilarious. Okay. Afterwards. So all these whites are like in the general Diamond Collection price point, $20-ish.
Yep.
These, though, you brought us some special ones.
Yeah, some red wines. I mean, who doesn't want to drink this at this early in the morning?
I mean, it's after 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 9 at home. It's fine.
It's totally fine.
It's 12 o'clock.
So it's fine.
So our first wine that we'll have is the Gia Coppola Red Blend. So.
Okay, is that named after another daughter?
Yeah, so this is Francis's granddaughter, Gia.
Okay.
So
I like that when you get the name.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
How cool would you feel, though, if like...
Super.
Oh, speaking of, maybe we should have a mom game wine.
Oh.
Oh my God, the Emily? I want to drink the Emily.
I mean, or just the Emily.
Or just the Emily.
How would Julie feel about that? Well, I mean, she's not here.
Sorry, girl, you're on vacation.
I feel like if I'm like the wine, is it the sommelier? Is that what that is? Yeah. The maker? Look at me knowing this shit. So I feel like this would be more Julie and this would be more Emily.
Yeah.
If we're, you know what I'm saying? I feel like this is bold and in your face.
Okay.
And then this is like, wee, nice and crisp.
Bold and in your face.
In like a great way.
That is a good.
You know I love you because I'm bold and in people's face too. Yeah. I know this.
So okay. Gia Coppola, Francis's granddaughter, she's also a movie producer as well. So I'll talk about that when we get to the second label.
That's good.
But this first one is a red blend from Paso Robles.
I love Paso. That's what it is. It's the Paso Robles.
Right? People love it. It's good. This is Rusty the cat is on this label. Okay. And Rusty is Linda Ramone's cat. So the Ramones.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. So Gia and Linda are friends. And this is apparently her house. Like it's a pink shag carpet, a pink chair. Like I want to go to Linda Ramone's house now. But so Gia is a photographer and a director. And so these labels are all pictures that she's taken.
It's okay. Really, really good. I love stuff with stories.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it really more interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
For There's a backstory for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, if the Coppolas wanted to add another daughter to the mix, we could have the
Emily Coppola. Emily
Coppola.
That totally rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, what about Andrea? But no one has gone for it yet. So it
does,
it's okay.
It does flow a little bit better than Emily.
Emily Coppola?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, no, I think it works.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
We could be like the twins.
Well, there we go.
You totally could.
Jointly.
Can you adopt
both of us at the same time? And then poor Julie. She's just out there.
I mean, Julie Coppola.
She's not really here to make her case. So we'll just
that's true. Okay, fine.
We'll move on from that.
Emily and Andrea
Coppola. We're going to be the niece.
We're going to focus on Andrea and I at this point.
Yeah. So the red blend, Paso Robles, it is made with organic grapes. So these two wines, the Gia wines, are made with organic grapes. So again, another little challenging kind of winemaking thing. We're farming the grapes organically in the vineyard. And then when we bring them in, we have to treat them a little bit differently than other wines to stick with that organic grape winemaking.
So, okay, so can I say the older I've gotten, the more shits I give about what's in my wine. Like, because I think 100%. Of the, like the next day, you're like, okay, I can, like, if I look at a bottle, I'm like, no, this is going to hang me over the next day, right? Versus like, hey, there's stuff to this. Yeah. You're going to feel better if you drink a better quality wine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's more, even for people younger than us, I think they're starting to pay more attention to that.
Yes.
But especially
when you're not older us.
And you're like, you just don't bounce back.
No, you do not.
What do you mean?
The bounce back. Ooh, that bounce back is not very bouncy.
There's really no bounce yet.
There's no bouncy house. That.
No.
Okay, so what's the next one? So that was a blend.
So yeah, so this is a red blend. Then we're going to move on to a Cabernet. Oh, no.
Yeah,
I poured myself too much.
Is there a too much?
Yeah, no. No such
thing.
No such thing.
Yeah, but see, I'm used to my spitter and I don't.
Oh, yeah, you don't have a spitter.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. The day is not going to be that long.
No.
It'll be fine. There's just a monsoon happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. Just drink. It's fine.
Yes, it makes everything better. Speaking of, there are certain weather times where you do, which is basically you could fit them into anything. But you know when we like freeze in?
Yes.
This doesn't happen to you in California. But like we've had a few snowstorms or really ice storms where you're stuck in the house.
Yep.
And it could be literally 11:30 and I'll be like, AM. And I'm like, well, we're going to play Mahjong. We can't go anywhere. Let's play Mahjong and go ahead and fill me up with a glass of red wine. Because it's like warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and makes weird. You feel warm from the inside out. Yes. Right? It's like a little mini fireplace.
Does Mike do the thing where like if it is like an 11 o'clock on like a Tuesday and you're like, glug, glug, glug. And he's like, really?
Oh,
like look?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh my God. What's the look? I'm like, Joey, bye.
Well,
why are you looking?
Yeah. I mean, especially if it was red, he might be like,
oh, see, I'm red all the time. Girl, all the time.
Yeah,
I go hard in the
paint.
I have
an internal clock.
Can't do it.
Always red.
It could be 9 a.m.
Really?
It could be, and I'll be like, let's pour. Am I an alcoholic?
Well,
you're doing great. Drink some of these wines, you'll be good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but it's like there's certain situations where, like, I just want a glass of red wine. Like, and there's certain ways. We had Troy Aikman on, and he has a beer, his 8 Elite Light Lager. And I always crave a beer after I get done, like, working in the yard.
Yes.
Like, there's just certain.
Yes.
Yeah. Triggers in your brain that are like, oh, I want this.
Or like a run.
Yeah.
Anytime you're, you know,
good
beer.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't do that because you're like, really?
I have a glass of Sauvignon Blanc after working out.
Yeah.
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 You totally should.
Okay.
Off the treadmill. It's 5 a.m. Yeah,
Peloton. Hey.
Pour me a red.
Okay. So this one is.
So this is a Cabernet Sauvignon, again, from Paso Robles, made with organic grapes. So this is Gia again. Oh, and this label is a picture from one of her movies that she directed. And now my mom brain has totally blanked.
That's okay.
We're going to get there.
We're gonna anyways, get Dave, if you're listening,
it's super cool.
Somebody tell us in here. Okay.
Scream it.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Yeah. So that's what happens when you have four wines before. And
yeah. It's very, yeah.
But I can taste the tobacco.
But it is good.
Tobacco note.
Yeah. There's some like even fresh tobacco in there,
look
which that sounds kind of strange, but there's like a freshness to it.
Okay. Bringing up all these like, tannins or tastes or notes or whatever, like, are you actually putting anything else? Like, you're not actually putting
grapes only
tobacco in the wine.
Yes, there's chew.
So
is it Red Man or what are we
skull in there?
Yeah, say cherry skull, so that way we get the cherry notes too.
Copenhagen.
No, so people a lot of times they're like, did you put apples in it? Did you put cherries? There's definitely fruit wines out there. We don't make anything with any other fruits other than grapes. It's just amazing. The varietal itself and where it was grown and how much sunshine it got will give us all of those different fruit aromatic flavors.
So fascinating.
It is. It is.
Yeah. And the way you farm it can really tweak what those flavors are. So how much sunshine, how much exposure, the soil type, all of that.
Yeah, because down to the, like, even, like, Texas wine versus, every soil, it's wild.
For sure.
Totally different.
Wild.
Okay, last stop. Okay. This is the fancy one, right?
Fancy one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do want to mention, so we talked about the whites. Those are all in the Diamond Collection, so those are in the 20-ish price point range. These are a little bit on the higher end, but still very affordable.
Yeah.
Like $40 to $60. Like, I mean, you're talking about...
That's your red.
Exactly. When we think about when you go to a restaurant and you pay
$15
for a glass of wine, like, hey...
Five in, you're like, oh, should have gotten a bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Or two.
Oddly specific, but okay.
Okay.
Okay, what's this one called?
This is Archimedes.
Archimedes.
Okay, fun word to say.
Yeah, Archimedes.
Okay, what is the story behind that?
And so there's a big story with this. So Archimedes was the name of Francis Ford Coppola's uncle.
Okay.
So his grandfather named his firstborn child Archimedes.
Where? I can't say I've ever heard the name Archimedes.
Well, except for the famous Greek mathematician.
I was going to say.
Right?
That's a lot of pressure to be named Archimedes.
That's my thought, too. But he was really into science and mathematics. Francis, as well, is obsessed with all things like that. And so this is in honor of his uncle and Archimedes, the Greek mathematician.
Love it.
On the label, there is a battle scene where Archimedes, the original Archimedes, actually harnessed the rays of the sun with a mirror and was able to burn up the sails of the opponent's ships. And then they won the battle.
Okay.
That's intense. So
that's what the label shows.
Let me see if I can taste that in this wine. Hold on.
Yes.
So there is meant to be some intensity.
Oh,
right?
It is. I can smell it.
It's good.
This comes from Alexander Valley, so the home of where Francis Ford Coppola Winery is.
It's a great area.
And it's just really warm. Part of the blend is from our own vineyard that's high elevation. And when you have high elevation red fruit, you get really structural components to the wine. And then we partner it with some other vineyards that kind of add the flesh and the muscle to the wine itself. So,
oh, that's muscle. Did you feel that in your mouth?
Yeah, it's very good. Whoa. Hey. That escalated quickly.
It's a Tuesday.
All I'm saying.
Quote of the day, Jasmine. Saying. Oh, there's some muscle. Could you feel that in your mouth, Jasmine? She wins. She wins.
Archimedes.
Nothing else I can say.
It's Archimedes. Oh, I don't know, Emily Jones. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's plenty.
So this wine, you know, yes, you could have a glass on its own, but it definitely does well with food.
Yeah.
Because
that
it has that intensity.
Very good.
Well, that's a punch.
The tannins are still like soft and kind of melted, though. So like when it finishes, you don't feel like your mouth is so dry that you have to have a glass of water or something else to fix that. So it's like soft melted tannin. That sounds kind of strange, but.
But that makes me crave like a steak. Like medium rare. It would be so good.
Yeah.
Baked potato.
Well, you're in luck. We're going to do this with steaks.
Maybe some broccolini.
Now, where's the steak? Are they bringing it in?
Exactly. Yeah,
we're just the pairing steak.
We're waiting on the food arrival.
That's amazing.
So this wine is our flagship wine, and the best fruit always goes into this wine. And we do lots of special fermentations and keep them all separate and do blending kind of towards the end. So that way we can make sure that we're using the best quality fruit and the wine that we think tastes the best from that vintage. So this is a 2019, so it's still relatively young for a Cabernet, but still has that beautiful like melted tannin and some great fruit. So
yeah, it's really, really good. All of these are really good. I'm super thankful that you came in. Anything else we're forgetting to ask, Andrea?
If we can have another pour.
What do you want more of? Just,
no, I'm kidding. No.
Well, what else am I going to do with these wines? I can't drink them all.
Exactly. Oh, Lord have mercy.
She'll share with us.
I'll be under the table earlier than expected.
I know. Well, we're so excited that, like I said, we're members at Colonial, and so we go every year to the Charles Schwab Challenge, and they serve Coppola whenever we go up there, and I always order Coppola wine. So I'm really hoping they get the Shimmer that they serve like in Colonial, like not just the tournament. So I'll have to consult with them about that. But yeah, these are amazing. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, and, thank you.
Keep that Mom Game label in mind, or just need myself, either way.
Emily.
Either way.
Oh, before we go, I had the Blanc de Blanc. The Sophia.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah. So Sophia is Francis's daughter. Again, a director, right? They have this whole director of movies things in their blood, but also wine. And
I wish they'd do something with their lives. Like, what is that gene?
Yeah.
I didn't get that
one. Yeah, I didn't.
But
either.
I'm making wine, so it's okay.
Yeah, whatevs.
So the Sophia wines, we have a still rosé and then a Blanc de Blanc and a Brut rosé.
Oh my gosh. It was, so then I was like, what is this? This is like insane. So then I looked on the back and it's a blend of like a Chardonnay and I think Pinot, if I'm not mistaken, one of those. But it was like, it blew my mind. I'm like, this is not like, if I was to mix these two, it would not taste this well. But it was like so good. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, we take special care in making our sparkling for Sophia.
That sparkle lasts. Let me tell y'all. I drank off that thing for 3 days, which is not in line with me.
That's
and
impressive.
It was just as.
3 days. What was happening?
Let's do another wine segment. But it, like, every time I went back to it, I was like, oh, it's probably going to be flat. And I mean, just popping like I just opened it. So
that's
that
was awesome.
Did you stick a fork in it or something? Don't they say something to do that?
Yeah. Wine actual topper. Silver.
Silver.
Just a wine topper. Just my normal, like.
And it didn't explode off?
Nothing. It didn't explode off, number one, because I was expecting that because it normally happens.
Yeah.
But it also kept, I mean, it was popping like I just opened it every time I went to it.
That's so awesome. Whatever y'all are persistent doing, keep bubble. It up.
Oh, it's awesome.
Awesome.
Anyway, that was my final word.
Well, good. Well, on that note, I forgot what I was going to say. Maybe I should stop having wine at this point in time. We're so excited that you came in here with us. You're always so fun to bring the good stuff and tell us all about it. So enjoy your time in North Texas.
Thank you.
Hope to see you again soon. Come back and see us anytime. I mean, if you're bringing all this, I mean, come back anytime.
Like, thankfully
Dave brings it for me. I just show up, which is even better for me.
Even better.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
And of course.
Being in Texas is always fun.
Absolutely. So. And we love Coppola and our partnership with them. Dave and his entire team have been fantastic for us and with us from day one, along with the Do It for Durrett Foundation, which I'm sure you know about, the nonprofit that Coppola supports, and just huge to have you guys as partners and the namesake of our studio.
There we go.
Coppola.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
And what is better than one guest in studio on the Mom Game? It is two guests. And I am super stoked to have a personal friend of mine on, Celestina Block. A repeat customer here on the Mom Game. You've been on once before talking about another book that you wrote. This is your latest book, which is so fun. It's called Cowtown Comfort. And the premise behind this book is very unique, which is why I think it's so cool.
Thanks for having me, Emily. So this is a cookbook. This is actually a Taste of Fort Worth cookbook, which is not currently in existence. This has multiple recipes from different chefs. Like, a lot of chefs have their own cookbook, but there's not one currently that kind of showcases a taste of Fort Worth.
I love that because it just, like you said, it showcases little Fort Worth. And Fort Worth has such this fun culture that I think so many times is overshadowed by the Big Sister Dallas. Right. And Fort Worth is like so legit and has so much cred, and there's so much culture and good eating and just everything. So love that you're showcasing that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So where did you get the idea? Okay. And then one of my thoughts is like chefs can be, yeah. You know.
A little chefy.
Yeah, very chefy.
Wait, hold on. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you know, proprietary, uh-huh, territorial.
Right. Busy.
Okay.
Uninterested.
Uninterested.
So easily bothered.
What was it? All of the things.
Yes.
So what was it like trying to, where did you come up with the idea? And then how easy or difficult was it to execute?
So I actually know a lot of the chefs. I've been writing food and restaurant news in Fort Worth for 20 years now. So I've written.
You always get to do the coolest stuff. You'll be like, oh, I was just checking out the newest rooftop bar and this cocktail. And I'm like, damn it. But Celestine is always the one I reach out to. I'm like, girls night for 6 girls. Where's the new hotspot? Like, tell me where to go. Date night. Where should we go?
That's a good person to have.
It is. Okay. So sorry.
So I thought maybe one day a cookbook could be possible because I've written recipe stories with a lot of these people, just like short stories. So it's just a matter of compiling them into one massive article, basically. And so most of them are happy to share. There are some that, you know, you got to kind of pry a little bit. And if I was happy to say, you know, if you don't want to share, totally fine. But if there is going to be a cookbook about Fort Worth cuisine, I feel like you need to be in it. We need to have this barbecue. We need to have this steak. We need to have this flour tortilla or this salsa. The taste of Fort Worth that you would expect.
But yeah.
There's also a lot of recipes that folks may not expect as far as Italian, French, Asian. So it really, there's a cocktail chapter. I try to cover a lot, brunch as well, sweets. So it's not just, the cover looks very Fort Worth, which I did that on purpose. But if you really dig into it, you're going to find a lot of global flavors and like unexpected flavors.
So what was like the unexpected? What was the one where it was like, oh, I didn't know Fort Worth had this. How fun. Like what's that one that you got the feedback on?
Well, you know, there's a guy who makes really great Spanish paella. There is hibachi as well. There's homemade pasta. We're actually having a dinner in a couple of weeks at a really fancy schmancy restaurant in Fort Worth where house-made pasta is the kind of the main feature. You know, there's a lot of nice brunch dishes as well. So yeah, kind of getting away from just the Cowtown.
Yeah,
the name steaks, Cowtown.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
So did you decide what to put in, and or did you ask them like give me your best, or how did you figure that out?
It was kind of a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because I thought about literally talking with friends and like what should be in a Fort Worth cookbook, barbecue, how to smoke a brisket, how to make a flour tortilla,
okay,
how to grill a burger, you know, kind of things, how to, chicken fried steak. And I have a little trivia for y'all too, okay, later. But also like chefs that need to be in it as well. Okay, this chef is going to be in here. What do you want to share? So like Tim Love shared his garlic stuff.
Love Tim Love. Oh my God, yes. I love him. Yeah. Anything he touches. Oh my God, I'll buy his airport food. Like at DFW, there's a whole time. I'm like, Tim Love, I'll buy it.
Yeah, we just had Woodshed over the weekend.
You did? Really
so good.
Lonesome Dove just had their 25th anniversary and he shared a garlic stuffed beef tenderloin from Lonesome Dove in the book.
Okay.
So of course, like John Bunnell, Michael Thompson's been around for a long time. He wanted to do, actually wanted him to do some sort of like grilling because he's really good at that, like it's kind of his thing. So he did a barbecue chicken. There's a lot of approachable recipes in here, but there's also some like for the foodies. They're like, okay, I want to do a restaurant style dish, and we've taken these recipes and scaled them down to a home version and tested all of them.
Really?
You can't write a cookbook and not test.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, the approachable factor.
So who's cooking all of them?
Good question.
Yes.
I'm thankful to have a lot of friends who like to cook.
Okay.
I had a little pocket of girls that we were all like sharing recipes, having dinner parties, cooking, really good friends.
Fun.
My mom did some, but they all had to be tested. And it was just a crazy journey to go through that because I'm so glad we did. One of the recipes had way too much cocoa powder. Like it was supposed to have like a quarter, like maybe tablespoon or something, like maybe a tablespoon. And the recipe said like a cup and a half.
Oh, geez.
So it was like, wait, what? This is not.
Yeah,
we tested all this.
Definitely have.
That's a lot.
Yeah, what a fun process.
Fun for sure. But I also tell folks, even if you don't really like to cook, there's some easier recipes in there. Like if you want to go to a dinner party and bring like a cool dip or something.
Okay, see, that's more me. What's like remedial? Is there hate to cook? I don't have patience for it. I cannot stand it. So, is there something for like me?
Yes, for sure. Like there's, you know, most of the chapters are broken out not by, like appetizer, salad, soups, but rather genre of food, like, you know, Beyond Borders, which is more global flavors,
mm-hmm.
burgers and steaks, or fancy steakhouse dishes, brunch, barbecue, Italian. So it's more by concept, Tex-Mex, and there's a cocktail chapter. But I also tell folks, let this be your new guide for dining out in Fort Worth as well.
Ooh, I like that.
Because there's some cool stories in there behind some of these dishes as well, a little culinary history. So it's more like I like to read, cook. I mean, when I have time, which is impossible, but I like the idea of sitting down and reading cookbooks because there's some really cool ones out there that share stories.
Yeah, you know? We just had Andrea Card, the director of winemaking for Coppola, and like there was a story behind every one of the wines that she showed, and I think that's what people.
I love the stories.
Even too, like if you're having people over, like, oh, this wine is this, and this dish came from this, you know, this was where the idea came from, and all that kind of stuff. I think everybody likes the story.
People love stories.
Yeah,
especially
when you're entertaining.
They do.
Was there one recipe or one chef that you're like, oh, there's no way they're ever going to go for this, and then they did, or anything that surprised you along the way?
Goodness. I mean, there were definitely some chefs where it was dragging out. I mean, I'm not going to call anyone out like specifically, but it was like, okay, either you're in or you're out. I have to turn in this manuscript.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on if not. So just, they're all busy, you know, they're in the weeds, and as they call it, in the weeds in the restaurant, and they're working, and it's just to get them to sit down. I'm like, I will even come to you and type it out as you tell me. And I did do that a couple of times, which I've done before.
Yeah.
And then we like, okay, does this look okay? So more than 60 recipes, a very long process. Probably why no one's ever done this before in Fort Worth in a long time. So,
but you're the one.
Yeah. Like, and it's such a great concept for a book. I mean, are you worried people are going to steal your idea, or you hope that, you know?
I don't really think about that.
Imitation is the sincerest form.
Yeah, it's hard. You know,
go ahead. The next thing I thought.
Get after it. Like, go ahead. Like, good luck with that.
I'm not going to another city and doing this all over again.
God, no.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the publisher is great. I mean, they were super flexible. The publisher is actually not from Fort Worth, so it's totally like I drove the whole train as far as what to feature. And so, and like I was telling Emily, what happens now, the book is newly released.
Uh-huh.
It's just out now in stores. And now I have all these fun events.
Uh-huh.
Fun events
with
the chefs
to promote it.
Yeah,
oh,
like just
how
cooking
fun.
Dinners, you know, we're actually featuring these folks. And I'm just kind of there, like kind of hosting, but they're showing what they're doing. Like, we're going to have a paella party in June, which I'll send you info on from Magdalena's.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun. We had a book launch party like last week, and that was super fun. At Fort Worth's First Distillery, which has a cocktail in the book. So that's all the fun stuff coming.
Yeah. Well, and I just love that you're just, again, stories, and it's Fort Worth, you know, stuff that people wouldn't even think. They're like, oh, you know, and then they have a story attached to it. Plus, it's right here in our backyard.
Yeah, and so I feel like Fort Worth takes such pride in Fort Worth stuff.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
they love
for sure.
Fort Worth loves Fort Worth. And I mean, I should know. I live there.
Yeah.
And seen it.
Yes, you know, for sure.
Yeah. They take great pride in, you know, anything that is
as y'all should
authentic to Fort Worth.
And like, a lot of people want to hold on to that.
Yeah. Sure. And I think that's why places like Joe T. Garcia's have been around for so long and are so successful, because it is so quintessential Fort Worth. And I think that's something that.
Yeah.
It's
an institution,
you know, huge pride in.
Yeah,
for sure. Have a little culinary trivia for
okay.
if you want to. It's in the book. I mean, it's not like a trivia question in the book, but like this is some of the stuff's in there.
Okay.
So we'll start with like statewide. So what is the official state dish of Texas?
Barbecue.
Not specifically.
Quesadillas.
No.
Quesadillas?
You're close. It's Tex-Mex. Well, no, it's not really Tex-Mex. I'm sorry. I'm lied.
Chimichangas.
Oh, chicken
enchiladas. I have no idea.
Okay. It's chili.
Okay.
Chili.
So chili is official state dish of Texas.
Really?
I did a little presentation with this trivia.
Okay.
And there's
we're
a
bad
chili
Texans.
award-winning chili recipe from Billy Bob's is in the book. And they put brisket in it.
Billy Bob's. Oh, it's so
good. Can you believe?
Good. It is.
Really?
So, okay. So back when I did country radio, that was like one of my, joked that I had like a writer. I'm like, Billy Bob's chili. I
really?
Have to have it. I don't care what. I don't even want beer or alcohol. That chili is dynamite.
It's the recipes in the book.
Oh, great. I'll have Joey cook it for me.
Okay. All right. More trivia. I like this.
So what's the official state snack of Texas?
Funyuns. No.
Funyuns. It is so specific.
I don't know.
State snack. Corn dogs?
Chips and queso?
Close. Chips and salsa.
Okay.
Chips and salsa. Yeah,
you
really
got
good.
One.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a couple more.
Okay.
Okay. How many?
Okay.
Chicken fried steaks do Texans order at restaurants in a day, like daily in Texas, all across
the state? So across the state, all the restaurants combined.
Oh my God.
This is according to the Texas Restaurants Association.
Okay.
So just every day.
Every day all across Texas.
5,432.
That is so random.
Lunch and dinner. It's so,
I would say, look, what are there, like 40 million people live here?
40 million people in Texas?
Don't they? I don't know. I probably shouldn't do a census
something. Let's do 10 million.
Okay.
We went from 5,000 to 10 million.
As I said that my son would say, like, a trillion. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. 800,000.
Okay.
Okay.
You were close.
So random. Like, I don't know how you would guess that.
I don't,
like,
that's so random. I was way closer, 5,000.
Yeah. So on the cover is actually chicken fried steak from H3 Ranch in the Stockyards. It's really, really good. I mean, chicken fried steak is a beating to make it home.
Can I tell and to you do something? It right.
I've yes. never had chicken fried steak.
Oh,
Emily.
Emily, you need to get it. Have it there.
So I've had chicken fried chicken, but let me tell you the story why. Because when I was a cheerleader in high school in Plainview.
Calories?
No. Plainview, Texas, home of the Bulldogs. And I was a cheerleader. And every Friday, the football team and the cheerleaders would all go to a pregame meal at Golden Corral. Okay? So Golden Corral, and they would serve us all chicken fried steaks and mashed potatoes. So one day I was like, I wasn't really feeling it. And the very first time we went, and there was this big offensive lineman on our team. His name was Big Bill Bradley. And Big Bill Bradley was like, Emily, you going to eat that chicken fried steak? And I was like, nope. And he was like, can I have it? And I was like, sure. So then every Friday after that, Emily, you going to eat that chicken fried steak? And I'd be like, nope. It's all yours, Big Bill. Like, you can have my chicken fried steak.
So you literally just gave Big Bill.
I gave Big Bill my chicken fried steak every Friday when we would eat at Golden Corral.
When's the last time you talked to him?
I don't know. I don't know if he's still with us. Oh. I hope he is. Oh. I hope he is. Bill, I hope you're still out there doing great.
And eating chicken fried steak.
And eating all the chicken
fried steak. So that's why you, and then you were just like, I'm interested again.
And then it just never really came up. Yeah. I love chicken fried chicken. But, like, I never really understood exactly what the steak was in chicken fried steak.
And really?
It was always a weird color.
And you were raised by your dad. So, like, boy food.
Oh.
So, like, would he just 100%. Take one down?
So I was raised by my dad. My dad ate the shit out of chicken fried steak.
And it just
But we never cooked it.
Right.
We just go to a restaurant.
Yes. Right.
I'm just not ordering it.
Right.
Wow. But I've definitely never had homemade chicken fried steak.
That is a fun fact
and
about
I
you.
I have never eaten chicken fried steak because I've never ordered it at a restaurant, and so it's never really been an option.
It's Big Bill's fault.
Big Bill.
Just feeding Big Bill.
Okay. All right. Sorry. There's my
chicken fried steak detour. That's a great story. No. Well, people love stories.
H3 has a good one.
Okay. So, yeah. Maybe I should do that.
I don't see you making it. That's really awkward.
That's a lot. Zero chance
no.
of making it.
No. There
is it's a lot.
Zero
no.
chance.
Yes.
Okay. Any other trivia before you go?
Well, I don't know. How long have you been in Fort Worth?
I've been married 15 years, 16, 17 years.
So do you know Fort Worth's first hibachi restaurant? And it's also the same place.
It's the Japanese Palace?
Yes.
My kids love Japanese Palace.
So does Bo. Yeah, so does my
son. I feel so many kids love Japanese Palace.
It is like
a theme. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's a ball. It's been there since 1975.
Fun.
Fort Worth's first hibachi restaurant.
Okay, I'm going.
Also, I really didn't realize this, first place in Fort Worth to serve sushi in 1989.
Okay.
And the owner's daughter was like kind of pushed that, like, and the whole story is in there. And they actually shared a tempura recipe.
Okay.
I love me some tempura.
Yeah. Okay, which is actually not too hard to make.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything from Hatsuyaki? That's my favorite sushi restaurant.
Oh.
The hand rolls.
They're so good.
That's hard.
I really didn't pursue sushi too much because I was
If you're into sushi, there's a hand roll place in Fort Worth called Hatsuyaki.
I think Joey took me there.
It's just a bar. Like, it's a U-shaped bar.
Yes.
No reservations, no tables.
Yep.
You sit at the bar.
And it's amazing. It's so melts good. In your you mouth. It's so good.
It's
yes.
So
she's
funny.
Like, you've been there.
Mike, my husband, isn't very big on sushi, but he'll go, and he wanted to go. And so we get, like, you know, you're sitting right there and the chef's right in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sushi chef. And so he puts stuff on the plate and Mike takes the seaweed wrapping paper, whatever it's called, off. The chef would just stared at him. Just kept staring at him. I'm like, you're gonna have to eat that. And he's like, I don't like that. And I'm like, you're offending.
Eat it.
You're eating. Eating the seaweed paper, whatever the fuck he put on there. You're eating it. He's like, okay. So he like puts it in his mouth and he's like, oh, it's actually good. I'm like, now if you'll eat it with the as it was constructed,
right, don't disassemble it.
You'll really like it. I promise. This is not, we don't do deconstructed sushi, honey.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so yeah. Well, Celestina, this is so awesome. I'm so proud of you. This is so fun.
Yes.
I can't wait to have someone else make all these recipes. recipe for me.
Yes. Or Amen. Just go out to eat with that too. But still text me if you need ideas.
I will. I will. I may dabble in the cocktails though. I'm not afraid of those.
They're not bad.
I'm not afraid
That's
of those.
That's a fun way to cook.
Okay, exactly.
Tequila and cocktails.
Exactly. Okay. Well, so we end every mom game by looking into our respective cameras, throwing up the peace signs and saying, mom game out. This is yours. Jazz, you know where yours is. Mine's right here. So on the count of three, we'll say mom game out. One, two, three.
Mom game out.